So not hard to guess what the topic is of the beginning of John chapter 3. If any of us have memorized any scriptures, we've probably memorized at least one verse out of John chapter 3. Brad says, oh, not me. Because it's just one of those great chapters about salvation. So we're going to look at the first 12 verses together this evening, and then we'll pray and get started. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You must be born again. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd use your word now to teach and grow us. We thank you for the privilege of opening it together. And we pray you'll meet with us and give us a precious time of reflecting on what you've done for us through Christ. We love you and pray this in his name. Amen. So most of us know the story quite well, that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Of course, he came by night because he was a ruler of the Jews and didn't want to be seen talking to the one that the Jews hated, especially the leaders of the Jews. And Jesus came straight to the point, didn't he? No beating around the bush. Nicodemus came offering up, if you will, compliments. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said straight up, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's so much contained in that one verse, isn't there? So we need to focus on that verse for a few moments. So this born word, born again, if we go back to John 1, remember, the Bible made this very clear for us. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. So there it is, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So a lot of people know verses 11 and 12, that we become the children of God when we place our faith in Christ Jesus. But the Bible says that simultaneously we are born. But we're born of God, not of the flesh, or not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood, but of God. It's a special birth, a birth of God. And then most of us know 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. New creature. Which means we've been born again into something new. We're a new creature. And we're, as we saw in John 1, we're part of a new family, the family of God. And then let's go to 1 Peter now, and we'll see that Peter also took some time to talk about the new birth, which is so key for Christianity. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. So that's, he's saying it right there. He hath begotten us. He has birthed us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then over in verse 23 of the same chapter, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So what God's showing us there is you must be born again, but you can't be born again without the involvement of the Word of God, the Gospel. because we are born again by the Word of God. And then let's go to 1 John 5, verse 1, where even John in his epistle to the churches mentioned the importance of the new birth. 1 John 5, 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So notice it says, is born of God. So this is not just a John chapter 3 truth, and that's what I wanted you to see. Some people think, oh, the Bible only talks about him being born again when he has this conversation with Nicodemus. That's not true. Now we see that Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians, becoming a new creature. We see that Peter talked about it, and John talked about it in his epistle. So we see that this concept of being reborn into a new family supernaturally is all through the New Testament. But then Jesus said he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he also then made a dispensational statement simultaneously, didn't he? Now, do we read about the new birth in the Old Testament? No, we do not. So this is a concept that wasn't available to Old Testament saints. This thing about being born as a new creature into God's family when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Of course, Christ hadn't died yet in the Old Testament. So not only is that a dispensational truth for us, but so is the phrase kingdom of God. Now remember, when Jesus and John started preaching, they talked about the kingdom of heaven. We've talked about that before, and the easiest way to remember the difference is, first of all, they're spelled differently. Amen? Because people try to tell you they're the same kingdom. But the easiest way to remember is just remember that heaven is a physical, literal place, and the kingdom of heaven is a physical, literal kingdom, whereas God is a spirit, exactly, John 4:24. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. So that's the easiest way to recognize the difference. So the day that we trusted Christ, we became part of a kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not the kingdom of heaven that Jesus offered to the Jews when he first started preaching. That is yet in the future. That's talked about all through the Old Testament and then in Revelation chapter 20. We call it the millennial kingdom because it's 1,000 years long. And that is a Jewish kingdom. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 17, Jesus gave a prophecy, if you will, a pre-statement to the disciples about the kingdom of God. Now, notice Luke 17:21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So he's even telling them up front that the kingdom of God is not something you're going to go see. Lo here, lo there, here's the kingdom of God. No, he says the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not something that you can see with your physical eyes. You will be able to see the millennial kingdom with your physical eyes, by the way, because you'll be in it. And you'll be part of it, and Jesus will be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem and so forth. And then go to Romans 14:17, where again, the Bible makes it very clear that this kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Romans chapter 14, notice verse 17. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about spiritual concepts here, isn't he? Righteousness, peace, and joy. You can't see righteousness and peace and joy with your physical eyes, can you? Those are spiritual things. So he's saying that the kingdom of God is not stuff that you can touch and taste, meat and drink. It is a spiritual kingdom. So Jesus, in that one verse, said so much. Except a man be reborn supernaturally by God himself, not by blood, not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, but by God himself, he cannot see the spiritual kingdom that everyone becomes a part of at salvation. Now, of course, we see in the Bible that many people have wanted to see that kingdom their own way. It started in Genesis, didn't it? With Cain and Abel. One offered the fruit of the ground and one offered blood. And which offering did God accept? The blood. Then remember in Exodus 12, those who thought the blood on the doorpost was just maybe a superstition, or maybe, you know, God doesn't really speak to man. And so the people who chose not to abide by that one thing, what happened? The firstborn died. And then, of course, in Numbers 21, remember when the people were being bit by fiery serpents? And what did the Lord say? But if you will look upon the brazen serpent on a pole, you will be healed. Now, did everybody choose to look at the brazen serpent after they've been bit? No. Many died. Why? Because they chose not to do it God's way. And here we come 2,000 years later. Being born again is not difficult, is it? You need to understand the gospel and trust Christ. Do most people do that, or most people not do that? How sad. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So today people say, well, I want to see the kingdom of God, but I'm going to do it through baptism. I'm going to do it through church membership. I'm going to do it by keeping the Ten Commandments or being good or following what my church tells me to do. And they're going to go to hell because they aren't part of the kingdom of God. You can only be part of the kingdom of God by being what? John 3:3. Born again. You must be born again, which he says in verse 7. So let's carry on. John chapter 3, verse 4, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Is Nicodemus, I think he's just being a bit, what word, facetious maybe? But he's trying to take a spiritual statement and make it physical, isn't he? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus is saying that's physically impossible. Can he re-enter into his mother's womb? Of course not. What a silly question. So then Jesus expounds on it further and says, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of what? God. So Jesus is taking what Nicodemus said and pulling the two together. Now some people want to make the water talking about the Word of God. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But I'd like to take it more literally and say that what he's saying there is, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born twice. How does a woman know that the baby's about to come? What happens? Jackie, you're a nurse. What happens? Well, but what's the clue that, right? It's time. But so, okay. But her water breaks, right? Is the baby in water? Yes. And so we are born, which God chose to do it this way, but we are actually breathing liquid when we're in the womb, are we not? And then when we come out, if we try to breathe liquid, we drown and die. Isn't that fascinating how God does that? How's that even possible? Because with God, all things are possible. So the first time we're born of water. The second time we're born of what? Capital S, the Spirit. So he's taking Nicodemus's literal statement of saying, well, you can't enter your second time in your mother's womb. That's just silly. Jesus is saying, that's right. You need a second birth. First you have your first birth, which is to be born and become a person. Then you have the second birth of the Spirit, capital S, and you become part of a different family and enter into a special kingdom, the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So now Jesus is tying it all together. So that word flesh ties in with the water, and the Spirit ties in with the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. In other words, think about it. If we could get ourselves to heaven, why did Jesus die? That's a good question to ask people, by the way, who try to offer up other alternatives. Say, well, if we could earn heaven, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross and go through all of that he went through? What was the point if man can earn his own way to heaven by being good or going to church or getting baptized or whatever? Why did Jesus have to go through all of that? Just to set an example of suffering, what? Of course not. So God's salvation is not a prayer. Shock. It's not an experience. So what is it? It's an event. It's an event. That's why Jesus is using the phrase born, because every single human being can certainly relate to that, can't they? What it means to be born that first time, we all can relate to that. And so Jesus says, the second birth, you can look at the first birth and learn some things. Now everybody has a birthday, right? And even the minute that they were born typically goes on that birth certificate, doesn't it? Because it's an event. Amen? Well, that means if the first birth is an event, the second birth is an event, and also takes place on a day at a time. How many times have you heard people say, well, I just kind of grew into salvation? I've heard people say that. It just kind of happened over the course of a few years. And then voila, I was born again. It doesn't work like that. Nobody says that about their first birth. Well, it was kind of a process. And, you know, it took a couple of years, but I finally was born. No, you were born at a time. And you were born again at a time. There was a time when you heard and believed and trusted Jesus, the gospel in Jesus Christ, placed your faith in Him, and you were born into God's family. You were born again. So anything that you can learn by looking at a physical birth of a baby, you can take that forward and say, yep, the spiritual birth is similar. And so those things are very important. And then in verse 8, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Why? Because you can't see the wind. You can see the results of the wind, but you can't see the wind itself, right? Unless you're in Arizona and you're in a dust storm. But typically you can't see the wind. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, it's not something that you can see with your naked eye. Now the charismatics want it to be speaking in tongues. But no, it is a spiritual thing that you can't see. Because it's the Spirit that's performing this amazing surgery. And the Spirit we can't see with our eyes. So neither can we see the new birth with our eyes. And that's what Jesus is saying. We can see the results of it. Our lives are changed. The Holy Spirit indwells us. But we can't see it, the event itself. We just can't see it. We can see the results of the wind. We can see the trees move or whatever. But we can't see the wind itself. He's saying the new birth is the same. We can see the results of it, but we can't see it. And don't you like Nicodemus' question? How can these things be? How is this possible? And Jesus, of course, is teaching him a lesson that with God all things are possible. This is not something that you can put into man's logic. This is something supernatural. That's what he's trying to say. And he finishes by saying, if I've told you earthly things and you believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Things that are beyond man's comprehension, beyond man's understanding. The new birth is a heavenly thing. Amen? It's not an earthly thing. It's a heavenly thing. And God Almighty in heaven reaches down and saves us and puts us into His family. And God Almighty in the person of the Holy Ghost indwells us. All of that is heavenly and spiritual. So, what a beautiful passage that he had this discourse with Nicodemus and taught him and us about how beautiful, how supernatural, how invisible, and yet how simple the new birth is for all of us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord,